In the time that we have remaining tonight, let me invite you to take your Bible, please, and open with me the book of Matthew and the 23rd chapter, Matthew chapter 23. It's a blessing to be downstairs with our Master Club's children and leaders there. It's good to see the good work that goes on there week after week, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to talk to them just for a few minutes, but glad to be with you tonight as well. Glad that you are here. In this chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we have recorded for us Christ's teaching on the topic of hypocrisy. And tonight I want to take the time to begin to study together this chapter and this theme and consider the Lord's point of view. There are many today who try and label the church as a place that is filled with hypocrites. And in many ways, that accusation may be more true than we would really want to accept. Yet at the same time, I recognize that the accusation that is made is often unfounded, and it's often leveled by those who themselves are hypocritical and filled with great bitterness. Tonight, we want to take a critical look at the topic of hypocrisy. Now, that might seem to be somewhat of an oxymoron to take a critical look at hypocrisy, but as we set that at the beginning, let me give you my definition for the word critical. By that I mean involving the objective analysis and evaluation of an issue in order to form a judgment. So we want to take an objective look. We want to form a proper judgment of the theme of hypocrisy. Before we though look at this theme together tonight, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the time to be able to come and consider the truth from your word. I thank you, Lord, for the teaching that we find within the word of God, how it's relevant for our day, how it's important for us to consider, to learn therefrom. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. So we ask and pray now your blessing as we come to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I think most of us are aware of the fact that the word hypocrite, at its very root word, means to be an actor. In the ancient Greek culture, actors were able to play several parts, two parts, within the same play, simply by the use of a mask. So they would take on one part, they would put that mask up, they would say their lines, the mask could go down, they could put up another mask to be the other person, they would take on that character and say their lines, and they could play the parts. We kind of get our idea of being someone who is two-faced. We play the part to be a hypocrite. If we consider what it really means to be a hypocrite, we understand that a hypocrite is one who acts in a way in which they seek to intentionally deceive those around them. They cause others to think of them as something they truly are not. And a hypocrite does that with eyes wide open. They know what they're doing. They intentionally decide to deceive others. They intentionally put on a show in order to make someone think that they are something that they really know they're not. We try and deceive. They often believe that it is advantageous for them to deceive others. It's in their best interest to deceive. And yet what that person forgets and fails to understand is that it is spiritually disadvantageous to be a hypocrite, because the Lord Jesus Christ in his day denounced the hypocrites, and he will do the same in our day. So as we come to Matthew 23, I want you to see the Lord's instruction concerning hypocrisy. And in this passage, he is going to speak of the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees. Follow along as I read the first 12 verses tonight. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe it do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. For all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to address the issue of hypocrisy. And he does so by speaking to us about the scribes and the Pharisees of his day. We want to do two things tonight as we begin to look at this passage of Scripture. I want to first of all take the time and explain the hypocrites. And then we want to expose their hypocrisy. We want to explain the hypocrites and expose the hypocrisy. The Lord Jesus mentions the scribes and the Pharisees. Now we know the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious leaders of their day within Judaism. But I want you to take a few notes as to who they truly were. When you read that word of the scribe or the Pharisee, I'm not sure how much you understand about what each of those positions were. Let me talk to you first about the scribes. The scribes were those known as the experts of the law, which is commonly called the Torah. They were the experts of the law. They were the scribes, and they would trace their lineage back to Ezra the scribe. You remember in the days of Nehemiah, and the word of God was found, and it was Ezra the scribe that would read the word of God, and all the people would stand because the word of God was now read. And the scribes would say their lineage goes back to Ezra, and they were the experts, the keepers of the law. Most scribes were also Pharisees, although there were a very distinct sect amongst them. They were separate, but they also had the title of being a Pharisee. And their function within Judaism was to preserve the law, both the written law and the oral traditions that had been passed down from the fathers. They were the keepers of the law. And by the way, again, if you remember, when you come to the time of Jesus, when you heard the law, it wasn't just the law that Moses gave. It was all the traditions added to that law since that time that they referred to. And so they were the scribes, the keepers, the ones who preserved the law. They were also teachers of the law. And as the teachers of the law, they would demand the respect of their students. They were highly respected. Again, it says that they loved to be called rabbi or master. They were the teachers of the law. And they were also the ones, finally, that would be judges of the law and the judges of the Sanhedrin. We understand at this point in time in the life of Christ that the Sanhedrin was the ruling body of the Jews. 71 members presided over by the high priest, and there would be the judges of the law. That would be the scribes. That was their function within Judaism. Now, we're going to refer to them as hypocrites because the Lord's going to. But you have to understand, they did make one very good, notable contribution to their religion. It would be the scribes that would orchestrate and organize and develop the system of synagogues in order to teach the law throughout Israel. There was the temple, which was the center of their worship. But they would develop the synagogues so that they could go and teach the law to the people in the outlying areas who couldn't make it into the temple all the time. So there was a system of synagogues and an order of service that they offered through those synagogues. And they were the ones who orchestrated and developed that system. Next, the Lord refers to the Pharisees. Pharisees first appeared in the Jewish life about 2 centuries before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their name likely means separated ones. The majority of the Pharisees would seek to control Israel's religion through the means of the use of the political system. That's why you will find the Pharisees very much involved with Pilate at the Lord's trial. It was the Pharisees that would be making the pleas and trying to control the system around them of their religion. And they would seek to do that even through politics. The Pharisees, though we sometimes think them to be the majority in Judaism, were actually the minority. They were the separated ones. The Pharisees were the ones who had and stressed a very rigid adherence to the oral traditions of their religion. They wanted to make sure that everyone followed every jot and tittle of the law, so to speak. And they were very dedicated. They were very rigid. They were the separatists within their religion. We need to understand that about them. Through their teaching, the true word of God and the written word of God, however, would be set aside for the vain traditions of their fathers. They would place greater emphasis on tradition instead of the true word of God, which is the law of Moses given to them by God on Mount Sinai. And the Lord Jesus would often rebuke them for that. He would often challenge them in their own points of view. The Lord Jesus would go to them and say, "Don't you understand that the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath? Who of you would not lift out his own lamb out of the ditch? Of course you would. You're not going to let it die. The Sabbath wasn't created to be a restriction to you. It was created to be a blessing." But the Pharisees changed all of that by their traditions. Although very rigid, they were following the wrong law. By 2nd century AD, the name Pharisee, though, would become synonymous with Judaism. When you would speak of a Pharisee, they would kind of take over. All the other little sects within the religion had basically died off, and the Pharisees remained, and they would become synonymous with what we know as of Judaism. By their actions, though, and their attitude, the Pharisees would really become the poster children of what hypocrisy really is all about. If I were to call you a Pharisee today, most of you would take offense to that, and so would I. Quit being such a Pharisee. That's not a pleasant term. We understand that, and we associate that with, really, hypocrisy. Now that we've taken the time to explain them, because the Lord speaks to them directly, I want to expose their hypocrisy. And we're going to look at the first 12 verses, and I want you to see what it was that the Lord denounced about them. Look at me beginning in verse 2. "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." As the Lord Jesus begins to speak about what hypocrisy is and to expose it for what it is, he first of all mentions that the hypocrites operate under the wrong authority. They operate under the wrong authority. He says in verse 2 that the scribes and the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. What he means by that is they hold positions within your religion. They have been exalted to the place of teachers of the law. They are the ones who are the teachers within the synagogues. They sit in Moses' seat. And so he says to them in verse 3, whatsoever they bid you observe, observe. As they teach you the law, the true law, obey the law. Because they are in a position given to them by God, they sit in Moses' seat. And the law is taught, you should obey the law. But don't follow their actions. If they teach you the law, observe the law, but don't observe and follow what they do. Why? For they say and do not. They're operating under the wrong authority. In verse 4 it says, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders. The Pharisees, strict adherence to the oral traditions, and everyone was expected to obey what the Pharisees said. Again, find that little word but, which is a contrast. They won't even lift their finger to do the law themselves. That's what the Lord's saying. They're operating under the wrong authority. The teachers of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees, held the people of Israel to a strict adherence to the law and traditions, while they made loopholes to escape the burdens of their law. I'll show you one example. Go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Look at verse 9. And he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whosoever curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. The sixth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother. That would require all the days of your life. That would require that the children would care for their parents when they were in need in their older age. The Pharisee says, however, there's a way around that one if you want to keep the money for yourself. You declare your money, Corban, a gift to the temple. Now you are free and no longer have to help your aging parents with their needs. That's their traditions, making the word of God of no effect. God says, honor them. You say, forget them. I'm taking care of me. Let them deal with it on their own. And the Lord Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. You've created these little loopholes that get you out from underneath, yet you stand and tell everybody else, honor your parents. Let him die who curses them. But your traditions deny the very law that you proclaim to preach. They were operating under the wrong authority. The hypocrite is one who wants everyone to follow the strict standards while they themselves are unwilling to keep them. Everyone else else has to live under the authority of God. But I'm not under that. I'm under my own authority. I'm under my own traditions. You know, the reality is that's probably one of the greatest things that can be pointed to within the church. I think many of us have probably known and seen that type of hypocrisy within the church. We see Sunday school teachers, we see pastors, we see deacons, we see Christian school teachers, we see youth workers, and they're telling everybody what they have to do while they themselves are living a lie apart from everything that they are teaching. And God says that was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. You say, but you won't do. You place the heavy burden on others, but you yourself won't even lift your finger to obey the law. They lived under the wrong authority. Second, they operated under the wrong motive. Look at verse 5 and 6. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of the garments and love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats at the synagogues. They did everything to be seen of men. That was their motivation. They wanted men to praise them. They wanted to make sure that they had the upper places at the banquet. They wanted to sit at the head of the table. They wanted to be part of the honored guest. They wanted to make sure that everyone saw that they were serving and everyone would look to them and pat them on the back. What a wonderful example of Judaism. But they weren't willing to actually do it themselves. They loved the accolades. They loved the praise. They wanted the respect. In fact, they demanded it. They wanted to be called rabbi, master. That was their motivation. They were willing to put on the show. They enlarged their garments. They sought the chief position. I like verse 5. For all their works they do to be seen of men. He gives the example. They broaden their phylacteries. They enlarge the borders of their garments. The phylacteries were leather pouches that were worn on their forehead and on their left wrist. In those phylacteries were several passages of the law. That they were adhering to the very strict words of Deuteronomy 6. That thou shalt bind them about thy head and about thy neck, about thy arms, all those things that we find in Deuteronomy 6. But according to the law, the phylacteries were all supposed to be the same in uniform in size. They broadened. They expanded. They made theirs just a little bigger. Why? So they could draw attention. Look, I adhere to the law. I wear my phylacteries. They wanted to be seen of men. It's the same with the broadening of the garments. They were to wear a tassel on their long flowing garments in blue and white, signifying the law. Now, there's supposed to be one on either side. The Pharisees, they would broaden it. They would make sure there were many so everyone could see. Look at me. And you couldn't but have noticed the Pharisees. They did all things to be seen of men. They wanted everyone to say, look at him. There's a Pharisee. Look at him. He obeys the law. You know, today we have the same thing. We have people who want everyone to adhere to a strict dress code. And any violation of that is met with a pronouncement of judgment. We want everyone to look at us on the outside. Look at me. I'm the good Christian. You know, I wear a dark suit. I wear a white shirt. I don't wear too bold of a color tie. I know I can't say that tonight because mine's got orange in it. But the reality is we got everything perfect. We have our hair cut properly, if we have hair. And we have everything done right. Our skirts are the right length. Everything's perfect. And we want everyone to follow that strict adherence because then everything will be okay. But inwardly, we have major problems. Inwardly, we are filled with sin. We just want people to look at us and say, what a great person he is. I mean, look at him. He carries a black King James Bible. He has to be a spiritual person. Because unspiritual people carry colored ones. Only spiritual people carry black ones. Folks, I'll be honest with you. I've actually heard that. You can't have a colored Bible. You're a pastor. It has to be black. What is wrong with you? I had a red one for a while. Oh, that's not what preacher boys use. Black, that's what color you need. I just bought that one. That's going to stay there for a while. We have people, though, that really believe in those things today, yet we've forgotten that God focuses on the heart. Folks, it's true. We have to look on the outward appearance. We have nothing else to see. I cannot look at your heart. However, God does say that from the heart proceeds all the issues of your life. So your actions will show what is in your heart, whether you like that or not. It is true. But I can't see your heart. But I got to be honest with you. God goes right past the surface, folks, and he goes to the heart. And that's what he's looking at. And he was looking at the scribes and the Pharisees. They had the phylacteries, they had the broad garments. And everyone says, wow, what spiritual people. And God says, they're hypocrites. They do it all to be seen of men. They have the wrong motive. And folks, we need to have the right motive today. A hypocrite is one who does all things to be pleasing to self, not honoring to God. We have to be careful there. It's easy to fall into that trap. I was just talking to some folks, I think Sunday, and I said, you know, sometimes I really think that we have made a mistake within fundamental Christianity, because one of the things we do, especially with our youth, is we want them to look the part. We want them to dress right. We want them to talk right. We want them to do everything according to a strict adherence of everything. And we forget their heart in the process. Somehow we think if they go to youth group, if they go to Sunday school, if they're in a Christian school, if they go to teen camp, if they're at every service, if they dress a certain way, if they say all the right things, they're going to turn out okay in the end. How many of you have seen those that have done all of that and don't now live for God? You know why? Because their heart was never reached. God wants us to reach the heart. He wants them to do it for the right motive. And if we reach the heart, you know what's going to happen? Everything's going to line up. They're going to go to the right places. They're going to dress the right way. They're going to say the right things. They're going to avoid all the wrong people. They're going to do everything right because their heart is pleasing to God. And when my heart is right with God, I don't want anything to do with all the wrong things. I'm going to do right. But we try to get everyone to conform outwardly and think somehow the heart will take care of itself down the road. It doesn't work that way. Take care of the heart, and the outward actions will be taken care of, because it's out of the heart that the issues of life proceed. The Pharisees said, look at me. They did it with all the wrong motives. They're hypocrites. Finally, they operated by the wrong ambitions. Look at verse 7. They want the greetings in the marketplace and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Again, the word rabbi means master. They loved the title. They wanted to be known as rabbi. When they walked down the street, they wanted people to see them and say, Rabbi, Rabbi. They wanted to be called master. They wanted to be elevated. That was their ambition. They were seeking after the chief seats. And they fought for them. They wanted to make sure they were next to the guest of honor. They were in the highest positions. That's what was important to them. But notice what the Savior says in verse 8 and following. In verse 8 through 10, he says, we ought not to seek a title. In fact, but be not ye called rabbi. You shouldn't seek to be called master. Why? Because there is only one master, and his name is Christ. By the way, it was the one who was now speaking, Jesus the Christ. Don't let anyone call you Father. And again, the idea there is a religious picture of the Father, not of God the Father, not talking about an earthly Father. It's all right for your kids to call you Father or Dad. That's not a bad thing. But for someone to come in and want to call me Father Bateman, I don't want to hear that. Number one, I'm not Catholic. But there are some who really want that to be said of them. Father, I don't want that. You shouldn't want that. Boy, if someone just called me Master, that's what I want to hear. I want to be seen as important. The Lord says, you shouldn't want that. You know why? Because there's only one Master, and it's Christ. That ought to be your ambition, to bring honor and glory to Him. We have one Master, Jesus Christ. What does He want from His servants? His disciples? That they humbly serve. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The Lord Jesus says, here's your ambition. Your ambition ought to be a servant. Many today want to seek out positions. They want to get the honor. They want everyone to know who they are, and they make sure to tell everyone, I am your master. That's what they want. Many want that in our day. I like what Warren Wiersbe had to say in a book that he wrote entitled On Being a Godly Leader. He says, those who repeatedly remind others who is in charge are either running scared or just plain egotistical. I think he's right. Now what? God gives to us opportunity to be able to influence others. That's called leadership. God gives us an opportunity to influence others through leadership along the road of humble service. Think about Moses for a moment. How did God find Moses when he called him to go be the leader? What was he doing? Shepherd of his father-in-law's sheep. How about David? Where was Gideon? Where were the disciples that he called? Fishermen. Along the pathway of their service, God gave them opportunity to influence others. We ought not to be seeking positions. We ought to be seeking to humbly serve the Lord, and by serving Him, serve others. Beloved, what the world needs to see today is genuine, God-honoring people dedicated to serving the Lord. They don't need to see any more hypocrites. There's enough of them. What ought to come out of First Baptist Church is a group of people genuinely dedicated to serving Christ. Not consumed with position. Not going after the wrong ambitions. Not living by the wrong motives or serving the wrong master. We ought to be serving Jesus Christ. We're going to continue on next week, beginning in verse 13. And what we're going to see next week is God's judgment exclaimed upon the hypocrites. Because He has some very harsh words for the scribes and the Pharisees. And they're good warnings for us. Because, folks, we could easily fall into the very same category as the scribes and the Pharisees. I think there were a lot of good-meaning scribes and Pharisees who were truly hypocrites. I think they started out with, in the beginning, I want to be a keeper of the law. I want to teach the law. I want to do good things. But along the way, they became self-serving, seeking the pleasure of men and the praise of men. And all along the way, they took the word of God and they set it aside for their vain traditions and wanted others to follow them. And Christ said of them, you're a hypocrite. You're an actor. You're a fake. You're a fraud. And to his disciples he said, as they teach the law, observe the word of God, but don't follow their actions, because what they say, they don't do. There is nothing more damaging than to be known of one who could be said of you and I, do what they say, just don't do what they do. Nothing worse than that to be said of you or I. We don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be genuine servants of the Savior. Let's pray together as we close.